those of you who don't know me, I am Steph, and I'm married to Josh down the front here. And as Pastor Alan just said, we look after the youth here at City Church, which we absolutely love. And I'm also a first-year teacher this year, and I teach Year 8 students at Bethlehem College, which I also love. So it is my privilege to be able to share some of my story with you tonight. But before I begin, why don't we pray? So let's close our eyes. Dear Lord God, I thank you for this place and for your people that are here. God, I thank you for this platform and that you've given me this opportunity to share what you've done in my life with everyone here tonight. And I just pray that you'd use my words and my experiences to inspire and encourage people here. And God, I pray that you'd speak into the situations of people who maybe are having a hard time or struggling, that they would know that you're there with them. Lord, I pray that your will would be done tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So, the title of my message tonight is Buried to Grow, and it's part of the My Story that we're doing at the moment. So it's about my testimony and my story and what God's done in my life. And there's two main scriptures that I'm going to be looking at tonight. The first one is John 16 verse 33, and this is Jesus talking, and he says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." And then the second is my favorite verse. It's Isaiah 43:18, and it's, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Do you not see it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the desert." So last Sunday night, Josh was speaking, and he said that testimonies are always so powerful, and I so agree with him. My favorite moments in church are when people come up and they share about their experiences. I always love the testimonies where God shows up in someone's life right at the right time and totally and miraculously turns their life around. And one of the craziest testimonies that I've heard and that always encourages me is Pastor Trent Membry from C3 Whangarei. And if you haven't heard it before, you haven't heard him speak, make sure that you're at Increase in 2 weeks, because he's going to be there and it's going to be amazing. Youth, make sure you get your forms in tonight. That's just a little plug. But those stories where God works a miracle are so inspiring and so powerful. But my story is not like that. God didn't just show up and miraculously in a moment turn my life around. And like many other people who, like me, grew up in church, I never really felt that I had a testimony or anything significant to share about my life. But over time, I've realized that a testimony shouldn't point to ourselves and how many bad things we've had to get through. It should point to God and how good He is. And that means that every single one of us has a testimony. Because God is good regardless of circumstances, and we can always give God praise for the things in our lives. So my testimony is not one major event that totally changed my life forever. My testimony is 24 years long and still growing. So I'll start from the beginning. I was raised in a Christian family, and I count that as one of the biggest blessings in my life, to have grown up in church knowing who God was. And just want to give a shout out to my mum, who's down here. for forcing us to go to church every single Sunday, even though we most likely protested against it every week. I remember giving my life to God officially when I was around 5 or 6 years old at Sunday school. And there's never really been a moment since then where I've doubted that God was real. I've always known that He was real. And deep down, I've always known that He's good and that He loves me. I think that knowledge, which was sown into me by my mum, my grandparents, and my Sunday school teachers, was probably the saving grace in my life as I grew up and started to face challenges. The first big challenge that really had an impact on my life was when I was around 11 years old, and we lived in Taupo at the time. And one of my friends after school one day, she called me, which was strange because we didn't really talk on the phone. And on this phone call, she asked me when I was moving to Auckland and why I hadn't told her about it. But this was news to me. If I was moving to Auckland, I didn't know about it. Her dad worked with my dad, and she told me that that day my dad had had a farewell because he was moving to Auckland. Little did she know, and little did I know, that that plan did not include me or my family. So obviously I was confused, and I asked my mum about it, and later that night we had the family meeting that changed everything. All I remember was feeling numb and unresponsive. I retreated inside of myself, totally emotionless. I had no idea, as an 11-year-old who'd lived such a sheltered life, how to even begin to process the news that my parents were getting divorced and that my dad was moving away. And the only thing that kept playing in my head over and over and over was a promise that my dad made to me when I was 7 years old. I had this friend who came to me and she started telling me about this divorce thing that her parents were going through, and I'd never heard of it. I didn't know what it was. And my dad explained it to me and promised to me in that moment that I wouldn't have to worry about that because he would never leave us. Yet 4 years later, here we were. As devastating as that situation may have seemed, and even though my dad leaving us caused me huge abandonment and trust issues through my teenage years, I can now look back and see it as God rescuing us. You see, my dad's father was a very broken person. I don't know too much about his upbringing or his life, but he didn't know God, and he did not know how to love us. The only memories that I have of him are ones of fear, feeling uncomfortable, and feeling more like I was an object than a granddaughter who was loved and cared about. So by the age of 11, two of the most important and influential male figures in my life had let me down. Unfortunately, we haven't had anything to do with my dad's entire side of the family in around 12 or 13 years. Because when my grandfather's actions were brought to the light, they all chose his side and pretty much disowned us. The only positive side to this was that we haven't had to see him in that time, which I count as God rescuing us. So by the time I'd reached my teenage years, I already felt like I had the weight of the world on my shoulders. Being the eldest of three daughters, I naturally stepped up into the second parent role. I felt so responsible for my sisters, for my mum, and for looking out for our family. Whenever we went to stay with Dad, I would be the one to look after my three-year-old sister, and a lot of the time this revolved being on a boat. And so I was 11 years old, and I was the one making sure she had her sunblock on, making sure she had her floaties on, and all I was concerned about was making sure that she didn't drown, which was pretty scary for an 11-year-old. So here I was 11, I wasn't even old enough to babysit, but I now felt completely responsible for her life. I'd suddenly been thrusted into adulthood well before I should have been, and because of my already extremely anxious and cautious nature, this just bred more and more fear and anxiety. The age of around 15 was where it really started to go downhill for me. The reality of my dad leaving and of my grandfather's actions started to become very real and damaging. I did not feel loved at all. I did not feel like I had any value or worth. And I started thinking things like, if my own father and my own grandfather cannot love me, then how could anybody else love me? How could God love me? And these were the sorts of things that I started to dwell on. And to fill the void that I felt inside of me, instead of running to God or the people that cared about me, I ran to boys. So for 3 years of high school, I was in unhealthy relationships and was left absolutely heartbroken twice. I would constantly hear things in these relationships like, I don't love you, you don't make me happy, I'm only with you because of your looks, I don't actually like your personality. So for an already broken teenager carrying so much hurt and baggage, this was almost too much for me to bear. These words quickly became my identity. I am not loved. I have a terrible personality. I don't make people happy. I am not worthy. I am a waste of space. God, why would you create me if you knew my life would be this painful? How could a loving God do that? Keep in mind, this whole time, I'd been going to church every week. I was in a Christian family, at a Christian school, and I was going to youth. I knew who God was. I'd heard all the sermons. I'd read my Bible. I'd been on the altar calls. I knew what church was all about. I just hadn't really experienced God yet. When I was 16 years old, it was the first time that I came to a youth camp with City Church. And this was the first time that I remember really experiencing the Holy Spirit. And I remember Pastor Alan and Eleanor came out to pray for all the youth. And the moment that Pastor Eleanor put her hand on my head, I just collapsed to the floor. And I grew up in Baptist churches and never really knew what the Holy Spirit was. And I'd never seen this happen, so I knew that it was real. And it made a huge impact on my life. That same youth camp, I had another pastor pray for me, and they told me that they could see youth pastoring being in my future. Up until that moment, I hadn't even thought about my future or what I was going to do with my life because I felt worthless. But something was sown into me that weekend that slowly started to grow over the next 5 years, and I saw a tiny hint of what God may have planned for my life. But the next 4 or 5 years of my life were pretty messy and up and down. The most common thing that I hear when people meet me and my mum is that I'm like the spitting image of her and that we're like the same person, which is great, and I think that's awesome. But for my dad, I remind him of my mum. And so he would regularly put me down and criticize me, often in front of other people. Nothing was ever good enough for him, and I so desperately wanted to make him proud. But no matter how hard I tried, it seemed like he was always disappointed in me and seemed to find pleasure in verbalizing that disappointment. Because I hadn't really let God heal all of the brokenness from my past, these words, combined with the verbal abuse and manipulation that I was experiencing at the time from a pastor, I felt like an absolute failure and an absolute waste of a life. I remember so many times in the middle of the night, screaming out to God, absolutely miserable, asking him to take me away and end my life, because if it was going to be this painful, it wasn't worth living. Deep down, I felt like God had a plan for me, and deep down, I felt like I was being drawn towards youth pastoring, but I had no idea how I was going to get there, and I didn't think that God could ever use someone as messed up as me. I felt like I was drowning under all the pain and hurt that I'd experienced, because instead of giving it to God, I carried it around on my shoulders and it was weighing me down. One of my favorite songs at the moment is Seasons by Hillsong, and this song is where I got the title of my message from, and I'm just going to read out some of my favorite lines. Like the frost on a rose, winter comes for us all. Oh, how nature acquaints us with the nature of patience. Like a seed in the snow, I have been buried to grow. For your promise is loyal from seed to sequoia. And I know, though the winter is long, even richer the harvest it brings. though my waiting prolongs, even greater your promise for me. Like a seed, I believe that my season will come. Like a seed in the snow, I've been buried to grow. Through all of my circumstances, I felt that I'd been buried in darkness. I felt like there was no light around me, no hope of getting out. So many times I'd cry out to God asking why he would let me go through such painful things, and I couldn't see how he could possibly use me. I was so broken, so lost, fearful, anxious, had no confidence. The idea of God using me honestly seemed like a joke. Of course God couldn't use me. I'm such a mess. God only uses strong, confident people who aren't broken. That's what I thought. Sometimes I like to go through my old notebooks from when I was a teenager and read the things that I used to write down. And there's this one message that I remember listening to when I was 15 or 16 by Louis Giglio. And I was reading it the other day, and these are some of the things that I wrote down. Jesus is our anchor. The cross is where we see that God loves us. Through the cross, God turns trouble and suffering into eternal good. God is painting a picture bigger than what we can see or understand. When trouble arises, we can skip asking why, because Jesus already told us in John 16:33 that trouble would come, but in him we may have peace. I know that the things I experienced were not part of God's original plan for me. And I don't believe that the painful and difficult things that you experience are caused by God either. God knows that this world is broken and fallen and sinful, and that we can't escape without experiencing trouble. You know, he pretty much guarantees that we're going to face hard times. But he also promises that he will be there to give us peace when we do. You know, I've experienced deserts and the wilderness in my life, like what Isaiah 43 talks about. And honestly, I still do. Every single day there are things that I face that are really hard. And sometimes I feel like I'm in a desert or a wilderness. Sometimes I feel like I've been buried. But what I've learned in the last 10 years is that just because we feel like we've been buried, just because we feel like we're in darkness, doesn't mean that it's the end for us. It doesn't mean that we'll be there forever. It doesn't mean that we're worthless or that God can't use us. One of the greatest things that I love about God is that no matter how dark or miserable our lives seem, he never leaves or forsakes us. He's there in our mess. He's there in the dark, desert-like places, providing streams to refresh and sustain us. And I don't remember when exactly, but at some point on one of the many altar calls that I went up on, as God slowly started to chip away at the scar tissue that had formed around my heart, I became free from the actions of my grandfather, free from the words of my dad, the boys I dated, and the pastor that I mentioned. And I truly experienced what Psalm 147 verse 3 says, that God heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. God uses pain and our sufferings to help us grow. James 1 verses 2 to 4 says, "Count it joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." The difficult things we experience provide us with two paths, one that leads us closer to God and one that leads us further away from God. But we have to choose to let God help us grow through our struggles, even if it seems like there's no way out. This morning, Pastor Eleanor spoke about being intentional with our relationship with God. We have to make the conscious decision to run to God when things are difficult, rather than pointing our fingers at him and blaming him for the things that are happening. You know, for such a long time, I didn't believe that God could possibly use me. I was so focused on my past, on the pain that I'd experienced, on the way I was treated, on my insecurities and my flaws, that I forgot to focus on God. It wasn't until I chose to forget the former things and stop dwelling on my past that God was able to lead me out of my desert and out of my wilderness and do a new thing in me. You know, there's no way that I could do what I do today if I hadn't gone through all those difficult things. I've learned that I can't just lean on God, I have to cling to God. I've learned to find my strength in Him, not in myself. I've learned that I'm never alone, that I will never face anything that I cannot get through. As a youth pastor and a teacher of Year 8 students, having gone through so much as a young person, it helps me to see things through their eyes. I can empathize with them when they go through a breakup, something that most adults would just brush off as being dramatic teenage drama, because I've been there and I've felt it and I know what it's like. I can sit and cry with girls who experience abuse, because I know the empty, dirty feeling that you can't shake off. I can encourage young people who think they're not worth anything or that God will never use them, because for so long that was me, yet here I am. Although my life has been painful and unbearable at times, I would never wish for it to be any different. Because God has used my suffering for eternal good and for His glory. He showed me that no matter what I face in my life, He will always be there. His peace surrounds me. And if I choose to focus on Him, I will grow through it and He will do a new thing. What feels and looks like a setback in our life can actually be used by God to set us up for the purpose that He has for us. And God can use the enemy's destructive attempts to display His glory and power in our lives. You know, all throughout the Bible, there are so many examples of people who faced seemingly impossible situations. But one person in particular who's always stood out to me is Joseph. When Joseph was young, he had a vision of what God was going to use him for in the future. But the circumstances that he faced afterwards were the complete opposite of what he thought would happen. You know, he faced the ultimate betrayal of his brothers who sold him into slavery. And then when he resisted temptation and fled from Potiphar's wife, instead of being praised for doing the right thing, he ended up being thrown in prison for years. The circumstances that Joseph found himself in must have seemed impossible. But Joseph chose to trust in God rather than blaming him for his circumstances. And because he trusted in God, God used his circumstances to grow Joseph and prepare him for the plan that he had all along. You know, Joseph faced things that I can't even imagine going through. And in those moments of despair and struggle, he had two choices. He could get mad at God and blame him for the things that were happening, or he could look to God and trust him to work it out for good. You know, these heroes of the faith in the Bible aren't remembered because they went through terrible things. They're remembered for their response to those trials and their faith and trust in God. You know, they chose to turn their faces to God and believe that even though they're struggling, God would rescue them and use them. Something that I've always found really fascinating, and this is the kind of teacher nerd in me, is the way that plants grow. And I've got this potted plant at home, which, as strange as it seemed, I actually got a lot of inspiration for this message from this plant. And the most amazing thing that I've noticed about this plant is that throughout the day, as the sun moves through the sky, the leaves also move. Every time I look at this plant, the leaves face a different direction based on where the sun is in the sky. The plant's source of light and energy, which it uses to grow, comes from the sun. God designed plants to grow towards their source of energy. A fun science experiment that I've seen teachers do at school is to place a potted plant inside of a cardboard box with a hole cut in the side. The plant will actually grow sideways to find the light and it will grow out the hole. And if you put layers of cardboard in the box with holes on different sides, the plant will actually maneuver its way to find the light coming through the holes. This process is called phototropism. Cells in the plant will literally make the plant grow in the direction of the light. Just like a plant, we have to grow in the direction of our source of light, which is Jesus. We all have obstacles in our lives. We all face trials and have things that we struggle with. Those things can make us feel like we've been buried, like we're in darkness, like we're boxed in and weighed down. But God is there in those moments. He's there to help us, give us peace, and provide a way out. We have a choice, though. We can sit there and get angry at God and blame him for the things that we face, or we can look for his light, turn our faces to him, and trust that he will help guide us through the darkness. When we choose to look to God in those dark valley moments, that is where our growth happens. That is when we are prepared for our God-given purpose. Band can come now, if that's okay. I'm sure that to everyone who knew me as a 16-year-old, I was the last person that they would ever picture doing youth pastoring or standing on a stage speaking in front of you all. But God saw the bigger picture. He saw the purpose that he planted inside of me, not my circumstances. And he sees the same in every single one of you. You know, I believe that God doesn't call us as Christians to be seat fillers. I believe that God calls Christians to be soldiers, warriors, and part of an army. But an army doesn't go to battle without being prepared. They go through training so that when the time comes for them to fight, they can stand up under the pressure and not give up. Every single thing that I've gone through has strengthened me so that the next time I'm faced with something more difficult, I'm prepared and I'll be able to withstand it. Your circumstances may be really difficult and seem impossible, but a seed can't grow without first being buried.